You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Yeah, I'll be voting. It's just hard to decide which idiot to vote for.
Can you see yourself voting for Senator Obama?
I can't see myself really voting for either one. That's why I can't make up my mind. I don't like either one of them. I don't trust them.
That's some deep indecision in Missouri that seems to have been something, or it is something, that is shared by many voters just 5 weeks away from the presidential election. Joining us now for another chapter in our Counties That Count series is Takeaway Political Director Andrea Bernstein. She's in Franklin County, Missouri, which voted twice for President Bush and before that twice for President Clinton. So they have a knack there, Andrea, for picking the winner.
Yes, I do. In fact, in Missouri, in the past 100 years, only in one election has the state of Missouri not picked the presidential winner. I'm right now at Cowan's Restaurant, which is just off of Main Street in Washington, Missouri, not, as they say here, the other Washington. And it's a very, very interesting crowd here this morning. I've been here for about an hour. Lots of construction workers coming in and out. Lots of white men, which is McCain's most natural constituent. And I'm hearing in this area, which is a very risk-averse area, I mean, one indication is the foreclosures are half the national average. One businessman told me here that's because they don't get into these fancy debt schemes here. They're very sort of essentially conservative. But here in the restaurant, I heard a lot of banter back and forth about tonight's debate. And I heard one gentleman say to another one, well, it's not who I'm voting for, it's who I'm voting against. And I said, well, who's that?
That's interesting.
He said, so who do you think he's voting against? He's voting against John McCain. And his breakfast companion said, well, I don't know who I'm voting for, but it won't be the Republicans. So that is a sense of the mood here. A pretty big shift from when I was here last, before the convention. And you can hear that with a gentleman I spoke to last night, an electrician, and his sense of the economic bailout.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a finance wizard. I'm just a poor working stiff. And, you know, I just know how I got to manage my money to survive. And I know I can't keep living on borrowed money. You know, I got to pay my bills. I think it's time that that America does the same thing.
So as the debate continues in Washington on what to do about the financial crisis, you have all of these voters trying to make up their minds. Do you think that this vice presidential debate tonight is going to help them do that, make up their minds?
Everybody here told me that they were going to be watching the debate. They were going to be watching really closely what Sarah Palin says. Of course, many of them saw her convention speech, and they've seen some of the interviews. But there's still a sense, voters kept saying, I don't know who she is. I don't know where she stands. I want to know more about what she has to say on the economy. I think that Sarah Palin has the potential to roil the race by stopping what's been a pretty bad week for John McCain, a pretty bad month of October, even though it's only 2 days in, or by not making that happen. And a lot of power is in her hands. A lot of people really watching carefully tonight's debate. So many people here are waiting to have the deal closed. Everybody, especially women, say, I'm undecided. I haven't chosen my candidate yet. But when I spoke to women like this woman, Susan, a secretary out in front of a Drogi supermarket on Main Street yesterday, she said to me, well, I'm undecided, but listen what happened when I sort of pushed her hard and said, well, where do you think you're going to go with that?
What do you think about President Bush?
I'm very disappointed, especially the last 2 years. Very disappointing.
Now, when people say, oh, well, McCain would be more of that, well, what do you say to that?
I used to think that he wouldn't be, but as the closer we get to the election, the more I think they're right. He is more of the same. In a lot of ways, I know there are, you know, he has his differences, but it's disappointing because I really like him.
Can you see yourself supporting Senator Obama?
Yeah, I could. I think it's going to depend a lot in the next. I'm really interested in this debate, and I want to listen to that.
It's such an interesting piece of sound in that interview you did, Andrea, because essentially that comment the woman you were interviewing made parallels what the latest polls show, which show that Bush has a very, very low approval rating and that Obama has gotten a bit of a bump in the last week or two.
Right. And when I was here last summer, I mean, this is a very, you know, an area where a lot of people came out and voted in the Republican primary, even if after it was already settled. A lot of people voting for Mike Huckabee, a big pro-life contingent here in Franklin County, and a lot of goodwill towards Republicans. And what you're hearing is a sense of they're sort of being pushed out of it. I heard a lot around the time of the convention of John McCain's a maverick. He's not just another George Bush. I'm hearing less and less. In fact, I'm hearing a conversation like the one I heard with the Dell couple last night out on Main Street. They disagree, but this is the kind of conversation that's going on in kitchen tables around America.
Anyway, I was far from McCain, and now I'm kind of leaning toward Obama. I think I just like more of what he stands for.
You mean in terms of his policies?
Yes, yes. The changes that will be made.
Do you agree with her?
No.
You're voting McCain?
Yes.
What is it you like about him?
Well, I just like his experience, his age. He does have a handle on the economy, and he's not, as everyone said, with the president 99% of the time. He's a maverick.
Yeah. And see, and I was impressed with the first debate.
Yeah.
Between McCain and Obama. And I was extremely impressed with Obama, and I think that's when I shifted.
Andrew, I'm going to bring in Dan Ariely, who's the author of Predictably Irrational, The Hidden Forces That Shape Our Decisions. And he's also a Duke professor of behavioral economics. And Dan, what do you make of all of this skepticism?
Well, we had a lot of hard time in the past few years. And the mistrust of people in the political system, I think, has been eroding dramatically. So I think this skepticism is only to be expected.
So hard times encourage people not to make a decision. They pull them back from making a decision, it sounds like what you're saying.
That's right. One of the things we find is that when you face more difficult, emotion, complex decision, people basically hold back. They procrastinate, they delay, they don't make a decision. But at the end, if they're forced to make a decision, often what they do is they go to the default. They go to whatever was the natural, original option for them.
Huh. Andrea, are you hearing that?
Yeah.
Yes. I think that that is what is happening here. And I think one of the risks for Obama is there is, after all, still a long time till the election. And what's gone in Washington this week has really soured people on the political process. So even though the polls are trending in his direction, Obama has that to deal with in the next 5.5 weeks.
Andrea Bernstein, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andrea Bernstein, the Takeaways political director in our series on counties that count. She's in Missouri.
That's
and
right.
Finding lots of indecision there.
We have counties that count map on the vote2008thetakeaway.org. You can go there and find out if you live in a county that counts. Lots of interesting information. Guess what? I don't live in a county that
Me
counts.
Me neither, sadly.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.